Today we're continuing thinking about the created world in which we live. And our title is Summer and Winter and Springtime and Harvest. Name that hymn. Ooh! Great is thy faithfulness, because we're thinking about the faithfulness of God. Who knew? It goes together. Somebody almost thought about this in advance. We're thinking about the faithfulness of God in the created world in which we live in. Last week, Jane asked the question, whose world is it anyway? And she reminded us through science and scripture that God is sovereign over the world he created. Do we believe that? Yes. Good. Right answer. And she reminded us that we have been given a job of stewardship over the world that God has given us. Do we believe that? Yes. Right answer. I heard a preacher recently say that God is not interested in the amount of plastic we put in the sea. He's only interested in our sin. When I heard it, I thought, I'm not sure if I believe that. God's not interested in what we put in the sea. He's only interested in our sin and the state of our hearts. Of course God is interested in our sin and the state of our hearts. But if the outworking of that sin and the outworking of the state of our hearts is a mindset that says we don't care about the world he's given us, then I think we've got a problem. And I think that is actually sin. Do you believe that? I could stop now and sit down. Do we believe that somehow our Christian faith calls us to action on all sorts of different levels, that God is interested in the world, in justice, in practical holiness, and so therefore we should be too? Do we believe that? Marvelous. You can disagree, but I'll argue with you. I wanted us, particularly in these 3 weeks, last week and next week, to think about the whole idea of the environment and the created world in which we live. Because God has been increasingly challenging me about the footprint I leave behind environmentally. And I have been convicted to make some changes that really matter to me. As you know, I love coffee. Lent this year, as I was praying, every morning I get my coffee out of my Tassimo machine. And God said, what about those plastic pods in that Tassimo machine, Louise? I was like, yeah, they can be recycled, yeah, somewhere. And he went, well, then I thought, well, I wonder where they can be recycled. Bolton. They can be recycled in Bolton. And to be fair, I've never actually taken them to Bolton. So I have given my Tassimo machines away. I know. Because I can't justify the amount of plastic that uses. We're all being challenged at the moment. The world is being shown a growing awareness of the climate chaos that we are going through, and that is a good thing. We have all seen Greta Thunberg on the news. I love the fact that it is children that are leading us. Locally, It's a child that has started the High Tiders beach cleanup gang. It's a child doing that. And a little child will lead them. I love that. In our house, we're starting to say, what would Jesus do and what would Greta say? So every time somebody leaves a light on, I'm going, what would Greta say? And it's like, turn the light off. What would Greta say? We're beginning to wake up to the climate chaos around us. And the church is beginning to wake up, although some have been on the ball all along. Are we as a church, are we as a people, are we as families going to use our influence to make a difference? I took this picture at the Eden Project many years ago. Your wallet is your weapon. I think that's very true. We have influence in what we buy and in what we do and in what we say. The lovely Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, says this: reducing the causes of climate change is essential to the life of faith. It is a way to love our neighbour and to steward the gift of creation. Do we believe that? Subdued nodding. Good. So we're going to dive into our text. It will appear on the screen if you want to grab a Bible. There's some over there. Or if you want to turn your Bible app on and follow along. Today we're thinking about the faithfulness of God in Genesis chapter 8. So do open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 8. Reading from verse 20 to verse 17 of the next chapter. And it's part of the story of Noah and the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground, and on all the fish in the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I give you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from every human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God, God has made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy your life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." Paul and I do not have the same taste in films. I love an adventure. If it's got a Marvel superhero in, I am there. I love a science fiction film. I love boys' films. I like an end of the world dystopian drama. Paul likes political stuff and romantic comedy. Ugh. We do not like the same sort of films. I remember a film I saw ages ago. I can't remember what the title was. It could have been Armageddon or something a bit like that. And it was a story of how the world had changed. What was lush and green was now frozen wasteland. Jungles had turned into deserts. Farmers could not grow crops, leading to food riots, leading to people to hoard what they had because it was so little. And they're shown in their frozen fields, helplessly shaking their fists towards heaven and shouting, "Why, God?" I can't remember what the film was called. It sounds a far-fetched possibility, but I wonder if it is. I read this week. Scientists say that in 30 years' time, the temperature, the average temperature in London, will be the same as the average temperature in Barcelona now. Now, some of you are thinking, "Oh, lovely. Oh, we love hot weather. We love Barcelona, lovely and warm." But think that through. There's a knock-on effect to that. So what will then happen to the climate in Barcelona or Nairobi or Mumbai in 30 years' time? So perhaps in 30 years' time, we'll be dealing with climate refugees who come to our relatively temperate island from homelands that have become inhospitable because of rising sea levels and the increasing frequency and severity of what we once classed freak weather events. I don't know if that will happen or not. I don't know. Don't want to scare you, but I found that interesting. I don't know if that will happen, but I do know two things with certainty. One, climate change is probably the most pressing issue this generation will ever see. And two, God is faithful. Two things for us to remember this morning. And I don't want us to be paralyzed by fear, by the scale of this, because there is no fear with God. There is no fear in love, and God is always faithful. In Googling climate change and things to say this week, I found a Peanuts cartoon. I will read it out to you. It is remarkably sane and scriptural. I was surprised. Lucy asks the most profound theological question of the day. She says, "Boy, look at that rain. What if it floods the whole world?" Linus, the resident theologian, replies this: "It will never do that. In the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that that would never happen again, and the sign of the promise is the rainbow." You have taken a great load off my mind. Good theology has a way of doing that. I like that. The past 12 months has seen all sorts of disasters. The Amazon burning, the rise in sea levels around the world, polar ice caps beginning to melt, the horrific amounts of greenhouse gases being pumped into the air. I read this week that 1 in 4 species are under threat at the moment. That's a scary statistic. And of course, everybody is hearing about the amount of plastics in the sea. We could go on. All of that is happening. At the moment, we still see springtime and harvest. So we can sing with credibility, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. We can still sing that because great is his faithfulness. He is faithful where we are not. And God gives to humanity his promise of a sign about seed time and harvest. And he does so in our scripture reading within the context of human sin. God is talking about human beings and he says, every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Ouch. Wow. God is saying that even though you are a sinner, I will still supply your needs in seed time and harvest, in summer and winter. Even though you are not faithful, I am. We know and we see that God is faithful. Think about those things that we shouted out earlier on. The physical things that God sets in place that remind us of his faithfulness. Every day, the sun rises and sets. Every day, the stars do not fall out of the sky. Every day, God is faithful, for what he sets in motion happens. We know that spring will follow winter because that is how God intends it to be. That may change with human intervention. But we've seen that without our human intervention, the seasons are faithful because God sets them in motion. They demonstrate the faithfulness of God. Creation bears the fingerprints and the faithfulness of God. But we're told that every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And so because that's true, and we can't do life by ourselves, and we get into all sorts of pickles and sins, and we are hopeless and helpless without the forbearance and the forgiveness of God, God steps in. And this is a story of two solutions. Our first solution is an ark. Our second solution is a cross. God's promise and sign about seed time and harvest is part of his mercy and his graciousness to us. And so is the cross. If you can't see, that's an ark, and that's a cross. In the story of Noah, God has a solution for the sin of the world, and it's a flood. We know the story. Noah and his family build a boat when it's not raining. And onto that boat go every kind of species, two of every kind. It's God's first solution for the sin of the world. But we know as Christians the final solution for the sin of the world is the cross that deals with the sin of the entire world finally and forever. Before the flood, we're told that every inclination of the thoughts of human hearts were evil. After the flood, we're still told that every inclination of the human heart is evil. The first time God sends the flood, the second time God sends a rainbow. He gives a promise and a sign about seed time and harvest, because great is his faithfulness and his forgiveness and his mercy. We read this in Genesis. Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. God promises reason and order because he is faithful. And in giving this promise, he makes a covenant, and we know the story. It's a rainbow. It's a covenant. It's not a contract. We all have contracts. I have a contract with Sky for my phone. I have a contract with ecclesiastical insurance, that does exist, for my car. I have a contract with Netflix for my entertainment. We have contracts that we can swap and we can change. If it gets too expensive, we will find another contract. God does not make a contract with us. He makes a covenant. And the covenant is forever. It can't be changed for another supplier. It can't be swapped for something cheaper. It is forever. And God's side of the covenant is his faithfulness. And the sign of that is a rainbow. That God is faithful to his promises and always will be. Do you believe that? That God is faithful? No matter what we do, even if the inclination of our hearts are always evil, he is faithful. He's been faithful in what he's given us. He's been faithful to what he has created. He is faithful. Today, we are reminded of two things. Number one, climate change is the most pressing issue that this generation will ever see. And that we have a call as Bible-believing Christians to do something about that. And two, that God remains faithful to the world that he has made, to the process of creation he set in motion. He is faithful to his creation and to us because he can be no other. But we are not faithful. And that's the challenge. So as we end this morning, I want us to prayerfully consider what difference we can make. Last week, Jane suggested two simple solutions that could make a difference. She talked about using a reusable mug. Who uses a reusable mug? Several people, fantastic. One, your coffee is cheaper at Costa if you take a reusable mug. She talked about putting your single-use plastics in an eco-brick. I encourage you to do that. If you've started either of those since last week, good on you. Well done. Keep it up. But what else could we do? Oh, we've got a hand up. We have a suggestion. Okay, Amanda, what else could we do?
Stop ordering online.
The carbon footprint, that is a challenge to me. Everybody's throwing suggestions. Blind glass, not plastic. Okay, I'm going to ask people, what else can we do? Wasn't planning on doing that, but I'm going to ask. Any great suggestions of what else we can do?
We could take our magazines and books to the library and we could recycle them that way, or we could take them to a hospital, or we could take them to a dentist and we could say, look, here you are, instead of me going to the grey bin and dumping them in there, use them.
Fantastic. What else can we do?
We could buy our food loose, fruit and vegetables loose.
With less packaging. Any other suggestions? How about we use the car less? That's a challenge to me.
Buy washing powder in a box as opposed to the plastic bottle.
Very good suggestion.
Make sure you've got LED lamps in all your lights.
Make sure you've got LED lamps in your lights. Oh, we wasn't planning on this, but it's fun.
Get back into darning.
That is very interesting. I would have no idea how to do that. It's a lost. Okay. Okay, Jim.
They've got all the vegetables in poly bags as well as your bananas, but you'll find in Morrison's, if you look around enough, they've got loose mushrooms and they've got brown paper bags. Use those instead.
Okay. Everybody's got something to say. The sermon's way longer than I was expecting, sorry.
I was just looking in my bag and I can't find it, but what Jim said, you can buy... I've got mine from Lidl, and they're like little net bags that you use again and again and again. And you stuff them in your bag, you fill them with your oranges or your apples or anything loose. They weigh nothing. You go through the checkout, take them home, empty the food out, bring the bags back again.
Okay, excellent job.
This one's not from me. It's from my friend Simon. Don't use your car, use your bicycle. Share your vehicle. Don't go to school with you and one child. It's wrong.
Okay. Who else is it? Amanda.
Go back to using a milk person, man or woman, rather than getting your milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, some great suggestions. And, maybe next time you are thinking about who your electricity supplier is, have a think about whether your supplier uses green energy. The best harvest festival ever. Thank you. There is not a window ledge to be seen, but hey ho. So there is something we all can do. Some of those take a bit of planning. You could build an eco house. Colin can help you. Plug. We could recycle more faithfully. It's a challenge. We could save water. We could take less flights. We could find out and educate ourselves. What could you do? Because it all makes a difference. Last week, Jane told the story of a boy on a beach. And on that beach were hundreds of stranded starfish. It's a well-known little story. And a man comes along and he speaks to the boy. There's no good throwing those back in. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never make a difference. And the boy says, it made a difference to that one. And that's our call, isn't it? Is to make a difference and do what we can. Because ignorance is no longer bliss, and we cannot be blind anymore. Today we are reminded of the challenge and the covenant that God is faithful and calls us to be. He has always been faithful. faithful to nowhere as he built an ark, and faithful through Jesus as he went to the cross, and faithful to us. God is faithful and calls us to be too. Let's pray together. We sense your presence, Lord, in the world around us, in the wonder and gift of life. You overwhelm our minds and hearts with the vastness of the universe, which makes us ponder our place and part in things, and leaves us lost in wonder, love, and praise. Generous God, you give us so much, but we are a people of much knowledge who lack wisdom. We are a people of great power, but who can't tread gently amongst living things. We are a people of much who always want more. We are sorry for our parts in climate chaos, in treating the world harshly, in turning the other cheek. God of grace, you are our help. You made us to sense your presence, to delight in your creation, and to know your love. Your love is faithful, your forgiveness limitless, your compassion endless, more than we deserve or could ever earn. That's the point of grace. And great is thy faithfulness.